You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Well, there's a black man with a black cat. Little black name I heard. He's got an interstate running through his front yard. You know, he thinks he's got it so good. And there's a woman in the kitchen. And he looks at
his name is Johnny Cougar, or was it John Cougar? Or maybe it was John Cougar Mellencamp, or it was John Mellencamp. Whoever he is your artist of the day. Don't forget, we're at 54th Street Grill and Bar in Lee Summit on Friday. It would be an honor and a privilege to spend Friday afternoon with you and your family, if you'll let us. 54th Street Grill and Bar in Lee Summit this Friday. I got the gang back together again. See Will Starrett's over there. Sam Stevie the Third. She's Dana Wright.
Good to have the gang back together.
It is good. It is good. It
rarely happens these days.
I know. Oh, did you see the Star? The Kansas City Star is going to end its Saturday print edition. Now, everybody has to ask, does this mean the newspaper is dying?
No.
Okay.
I think it's a great idea. The Friday and or Saturday editions were always extremely thin anyway. You don't staff those days the way you staff the other days. And if they can remove those resources and put them over where we need it, which is Sunday through Thursday or Friday, I think that's a much better use of resources.
Do you still get the Star at home?
I take the digital.
You take the digital.
I do the digital because, Chris, between the two of us, we have 10 copies of it at work each. I mean.
Right. You still get the Times at home?
Yep.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
Print edition?
Mm-hmm.
See, I still get the, and by the way, I know she listens to the show.
Who?
My newspaper delivery woman.
That poor woman alone.
As exhibited by your paper winding up in the neighbor's yard for a while?
Yeah. And then when she was gone for a week, and then I complained about it on the air, and then she threw all six copies into the front yard on the same day. However, I want to say to the, I don't know who she is. I know her name is Candy. That's all I know. Candy, lately you've been doing a fantastic job. And every morning it's right there in the driveway. I don't have to walk into the wet grass. It's right there. My Wall Street Journal is right there. And on days where she knows it's going to rain, she double wraps it. I'm very pleased with her. And every morning.
She probably rubs Ebola on it before she double wraps it. But at least she might.
Yellow fever.
I would be nice to her.
I just said she's doing a fantastic job.
You said lately.
Leave that poor girl alone.
Lately, I mean like the last
probably gets up at 1 a.m. to wrap all those. I mean, that is, you know, we've talked to newspaper delivery people before on this program.
That's right.
That you have got to be dedicated and committed to sign on for that gig.
Although we've also talked to newspaper delivery people who say they get paid $70,000 a year. For 70 grand, I'll throw papers at anybody's yard.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Well, driveway.
Well, right. Driveway, of course. Yes. So the Star is going to stop printing on Saturdays. How do you not see this as the demise of the Kansas City Star?
Because they're just shifting resources where they need the resources.
Which means they're losing money.
The Saturday edition of any paper, is always the super thin, we have to do it because we're a daily. That's what it's become.
Okay.
And so if they're moving resources so that we continue to get fantastic content throughout the other days a week that I care about.
Now, I'm
not sitting at home Saturdays reading a paper. I'm just not. Most people aren't.
You're probably right. And by the way, to your point, you know what sits on my kitchen table right now? The last two Saturday Wall Street Journals. You know why?
It's hard to get through them.
I haven't had time on the week. It's so crazy because you would think on the weekend that would be the time you have the most time to read the paper.
Yeah.
That's the least time I find to read the paper. But I want to read what they have, and Peggy Noonan's always in the opinion piece, and I like what she writes, so I wanted to read what she had written. I still have not had time to go through the last two Saturday Wall Street Journals, so they sit on my kitchen table until I have time to go through them.
Yeah.
Anyway, I digress. Here's an interesting story, and we'll get to this in just a minute. We'll get to it right after the break. But if you guys want to load up on the phone lines, 576-7798, we're going to talk about, when we get back from the break, a passenger who was on an American Airlines flight, and he got on with a T-shirt that some say was offensive. The T-shirt...
Can you be removed for wearing a T-shirt people find offensive?
This person was not removed, but was ordered, to change his T-shirt.
Who gets to decide what's offensive?
Apparently the airline.
I mean, this is not the first time this has come up. Remember, a few years ago, Southwest Airlines kicked a woman off a flight saying her skirt was too short.
Okay, but this is different because, and I remember that argument too. That
this is a religious shirt.
Who decides, how much leg is showing? Who decides that, all of that? So who decides is breastfeeding offensive people?
But it's still ultimately... It still ultimately boils down to an apparel issue with the airline making the call.
But
this is a speech.
But your speech is protected from the government, not from a private entity.
And your speech in this case is on, again, the apparel.
But the speech was religious in nature.
Who is going to see a T-shirt, for the most part, when you are shoved into a fuselage sitting straight ahead listening to your AirPods? To me, it's not. Maybe if you wore this particular shirt, and we'll tell you what's on it when we come back. Mm-hmm. Maybe if you wore this shirt into a church, people would say that's offensive. But on an airplane, do you know what I find offensive on an airplane? People who don't shower. That's what's offensive to me on an airplane.
Body odor offends you on
BO
a plane.
BO on an airplane.
I see.
We should all agree is offensive.
Tuna salad sandwich.
Oh, burned popcorn.
Mm.
I don't care what you're wearing as long as you wear it and deodorant. I'm good.
When we get back, what was on this shirt that was so offensive? And I remind you, it was religious. We'll get to that in just a moment here on Dana and Parks.
I'm too sexy for my shirt. Too sexy for my shirt. So sexy it hurts.
I said Fred.
Too sexy for Milan. Too sexy for Milan. New York and Japan.
The story is from the Washington Examiner. 576-7798. A passenger on an American Airlines was told that her T-shirt emblazoned with Hail Satan was too offensive to wear on board. On a trip from Key West to Las Vegas, a flight attendant informed Swati Rooney Goyal that she would have to change her shirt or get off the flight. Goyal was also asked if she understood what offensive meant. She responded,
"Yeah, listen to her reply.
Well, the man said, your shirt is offensive. Do you know what that means? I said, I'm a foreign-born minority woman. I understand offensive, and this shirt is not offensive. The shirt, which said, Hail Satan, also featured an upside-down cross and states that it was established in 666. Goyal said she was an atheist and didn't actually worship Satan, and that she is a member of, and that she was not a member of the Satanic Temple. It's an ironic shirt, she said. People usually laugh at it, or they give me a thumbs up because they understand the meaning behind it. The flight attendant's request was backed up by other members of the crew, including a customer service agent. Though Goyal, 49, and her husband resisted the directive, eventually she complied with the crew members and borrowed one of her husband's T-shirts. Is it offensive?
I don't like other people deciding that words on a T-shirt are offensive. No, that is going to be a different answer for every single person listening.
Now, wait a minute. If you got on a flight with a T-shirt that said F you, and F was spelled out,
mm-hmm.
I think some people reasonably could find that offensive. I would not. I would be like, wow, you've got big stones to wear that onto a flight. But I wouldn't call a flight attendant and say, hey, that guy's shirt over there offends me. He needs to take it off. I would never do that. I would just think, wow, you've got big stones to wear that thing on an airplane.
Right. It's not my first choice.
This is a, whether you like it or not, ladies and gentlemen, this is a religious shirt.
Yeah.
That may not be your religion. It probably isn't. But this person has every right to wear that shirt. What if I wore my Iron Maiden Number of the Beast t-shirt onto a flight, which, by the way, I have done before?
I just get real nervous when other people start deciding what's offensive and what isn't offensive. This isn't an elementary school where you really don't have all of the rights within the confines of that building than the rest of us do.
You clearly don't.
You know, they can search your locker, they can search your bag, that kind of stuff. I'm always nervous when we let other people decide what's offensive. Let's look at this from a political angle. If someone had a shirt on with certain political protected speech on it that you might find offensive, could you be kicked off a plane for that? I would argue you shouldn't be.
What if somebody got on a plane with a Make America Great Again hat?
What if someone got on the plane with I Support Planned Parenthood?
Abort babies at will.
Some people are going to say they find certain political speech offensive. I get real nervous when we start kicking people off of planes for it.
A good point from a texter. Some people, and I'm among them, by the way, some people buy shirts because they are offensive.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to push the envelope a little bit.
There's an entire website that is dedicated to selling shirts like that.
Oh, gosh, my dad has a drawer full of them, and they are so funny.
Mm-hmm.
I can't really describe any of them on the air. He wears them around his cigar-smoking buddies. They are hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
And I think most people would find them hilarious. But you get on a plane with one of those shirts and someone decides that's offensive, I don't want someone kicking my dad off the plane because you don't have a sense of humor.
I have a t-shirt in my drawers that I wear very rarely, but I do wear it occasionally, that says liberal bitch.
Yeah. What about the Hillary Clinton looking at her phone saying, how do you like me now? Or how do you like my emails now? You know, there are a lot of things that would offend people out there. Certainly when you're starting to talk about political stuff, religious stuff. Do you want your flight attendant to be the arbiter of what is offensive? And for me, the answer is no.
Somebody says 5383 writes in, the shirt also has 666 on it with an upside down cross. That has
So does the Topeka zip code.
That has connotations of doom and destruction. So what? It doesn't say on the shirt, I'm bringing this son of a bee down.
Which then you are crossing in from offensive to threatening.
Right.
And they can remove you. But religious and political speech that isn't threatening in any way, I don't think is fair grounds for removal.
I mean, some people find Islam to be an offensive religion. I don't, but some people do. And what if somebody got on a plane with the Allah Akbar shirt on? You're going to kick them off? Because saying praise God in Arabic is threatening to you? I mean, give me a break. Lane in DeSoto. It's been a long time. Hello, Lane.
How you guys doing today? Happy Hi. Hump Day.
Good hump to hear day. Your voice again, my friend.
I appreciate it, Scott. But, and actually, what you just said triggered a thought in me. Let's flip this around. What if the flight attendant was offended by a I Love Jesus shirt or Christianity Rocks shirt? Are they allowed to push somebody off the airplane or make them cover that shirt because of that? I'm with Dana. As long as somebody's big belly flab and their stinky feet don't invade my space on the airplane, I don't care if they come on in a G-string and a couple of Band-Aids. Leave me alone, get on the plane, and let's get going.
Amen, brother. Good call. All right.
Just don't delay my flight.
quit being a stranger, buddy. Call in more often. You're good on the radio. 576-7798. Somebody says, this t-shirt is not religious, it's anti-Christian. Well, people could argue that a Christian t-shirt is anti-satanic. Could they not? Be careful, 4147. Just because you don't like it doesn't make it anti-Christian. Maybe it's pro-Satan. And your Christian t-shirt is not pro-Christian, it's anti-satanic. I think we have to be very, very careful when we deal with religion. And what you find offensive, I don't. I actually find this to be rather amusing. And I go to church. 576-7798. 'Cause I believe in-
to go.
Disappointing you, Sam Stevens III. Thought you'd come back with some ghost or something.
There's so many times I let you down.
A passenger on an American Airlines flight was told that her T-shirt emblazoned with Hail Satan was too offensive for her to wear it on board the flight. The T-shirt also included an upside-down cross and the numbers 666. She was told, your shirt is offensive. And she was forced to put on a T-shirt that her husband had in his carry-on baggage. Mike in Topeka. Mike, good afternoon. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well. Thank you. Be very careful with what you're about to say.
I was just going to say, I know we may have little ears listening, so I'll keep this as clean as possible. When I was in high school and got my first car, I wanted to be funny, and so I got a personalized license plate that said F-A-H-Q. And so it basically said F-U. And my principal thought it was inappropriate and made me change my license plate.
Said you couldn't park there if you had that plate, basically?
Yeah, he said my two options were I could either not drive my car to school or I had to get a different license plate.
What did your parents think about this?
My mom was kind of iffy. My dad thought it was hilarious.
What did you change because your license plate?
Yeah, I did because obviously I wanted to drive to school.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, because you actually had to look at it and read it to understand what it was saying.
Right.
So it was kind of funny. But yeah, my principal still thought it was inappropriate.
All right, my friend. Thank you for keeping it semi-clean, Mike. Sybil in St. Joe. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well, thank you.
Good. I just wanted to comment on the Hail Satan T-shirt that I don't think that it's right that the stewardess or the flight attendant is the end-all, be-all for American Airlines to tell you that you can or can't wear specific items of clothing on a flight, because nowhere does it state in the fine print when you purchase your airline ticket that you have to wear a skirt of a certain length or a plain colored shirt or anything like that. So why is it up to the stewardess to decide who comes on the plane and who doesn't?
Because I'm guessing, Sybil, and I don't know this because I've never read the fine print on any document ever. My guess is there's something when you purchase that ticket that says subject to the rules and regulations of the airline, which can change at any time. And by purchasing this ticket, you are agreeing to our rules and terms of service.
However, I would point out to you, Dana, and I know that you would agree with me on this, American Airlines is a private corporation, publicly traded, but private corporation.
Yeah.
They have every right to tell you, within reason, of course, based on protected classes, that you cannot come on their flight. However, here's a problem for them. Religion is a protected class.
Mm-hmm.
And worshiping Satan, which, by the way, I do not subscribe to.
Not your thing.
It is not. Yes, I listen to Slayer and other bands that prophesize the books of Satan or whatever.
Knights in Satan's service.
And I love Kiss, and they're very satanic. However, religion is a protected class. And worshiping Satan is a religion. They have no right, I would argue, under the law, to tell this person to take that shirt off. And quite frankly, could face a civil rights lawsuit.
Because it was religious in nature.
Correct.
Mm.
Let's go to Dave in Odessa. Hello, Dave.
On the lighter side, was it lost on these stewardess that this flight was to Vegas?
Yeah, because if Satan is anywhere in the United States, Vegas is on the short list.
Well, there you go. Thank you, guys.
All right, be good, Dave. Thanks for the call.
I remember my father-in-law years and years and years ago, God rest his soul, said when we were getting ready to go to Vegas one time, he goes, "You can just feel the sin in that city." He was a religious man.
I've never
He said, "You can feel the sin in that city."
Really?
And I don't know if it's still the way it was when I went 20 years ago, but I mean, you could see it on flyers, on billboards. You are surrounded by it.
Steve in St. Joe. Hello, Steve.
Hello, sir. You know, truth be told, when I appreciate your comment about them being a private company. They did not discriminate against her because of her religion. they discriminated against something that they considered to be potentially offensive to other people. It could instigate problems. They didn't tell her to get off the plane because she was a Satanist. They gladly carried her. Her religion didn't matter. It was the way she was expressing something. They couldn't. You wouldn't be able to get on a. They might very well tell you that you couldn't get onto the plane wearing a shirt that says "F you."
But profanity is not a protected class. Religion is.
Again, they didn't discriminate her based on her religion. She could be any religion she wanted to be.
Well, but the shirt in and of itself, Steve, was religious in nature. It may not be a religion that you or I subscribe to, but it was a religion. Worshipping Satan is a religion.
Yes, and she was free to worship Satan. She was not worshiping Satan by wearing the T-shirt.
Yeah, he's saying she's free to worship Satan. She's just not free to wear the T-shirt announcing that she's free to worship Satan.
Oh, so then kicking a woman off for wearing a hijab would be okay?
If they, and remember, again, it's private property. If they decided that what you're wearing is instigating something, they have the right to do that.
Steve, you are so absolute, and I love you, brother, but you are so unbelievably wrong. Kicking a woman off of a flight for wearing a hijab, which is part of their religion,
would be an enormous lawsuit.
And a sign of their religion.
I did not say that wearing the hijab was a threatening or an instigating thing. That was not
But what if somebody did, Steve? What if somebody said, that woman back there wearing the hijab is threatening to me because I am a devout whatever, Jew or Christian or whatever, and I find the Islamic religion to be threatening to me. I want her removed from this flight. The airline is not saying you can't worship Muhammad on the flight. What we're saying is you can't wear the hijab, which is part of your religion.
Again, I don't believe the T-shirt is part of her religion. That's all I wanted to say.
But maybe it is.
Well, I tell you what, my pet llama needs to be part of my religion as well. And I get to be naked and eat filet mignon in front of everybody.
And you don't have to pay taxes, Steve. Well, I like your religion.
Well, listen, I'll eat the filet mignon with you, but you can't be naked.
The llama's going to eat. Going to go for the filet mignon with you.
All right, brother. You be good, my friend. All right.
Bye.
JR in Lee's Summit. Hello, JR.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Anytime.
I would say, I mean, we're worrying about who's being offended, but I think it says more about the people that intentionally wear that type of stuff. You know what I mean? I mean, they knew they were, the only reason why you wear that type of T-shirt is to get a reaction
Absolutely.
Out of someone.
To get attention, of course.
Exactly. And, you know, to the whole private property thing, I mean, would the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C. have the ability to kick out a guy who wore a Hail Hitler T-shirt. I mean, the whole stuff. Like, again, I think it says more about the person that's intentionally trying to get a rise out of people. But thanks for taking my call, guys.
All right, man. I do appreciate it.
We've talked about this before. I think there are certain things that you can wear in this day and age without stating what those things are that automatically elicit a negative or positive response when you go out in public wearing those things. And you know what I'm talking about. You know the minute you leave that house that you are wearing that to elicit a response. Sure. And so
you're wearing it to offend.
Don't feign surprise when you get a response and you wear something specifically knowing that you are going to get a response. I will agree with him. Most people looking at that T-shirt, even if you owned that T-shirt, would probably not choose that T-shirt to get on an airplane. I wouldn't travel in that T-shirt because, again,
I wouldn't own it.
I know that is going to bring about a response, and I'm just looking to get to my connection and get to Vegas.
No, this is clearly somebody who has a really bad case of the look at me's.
Yeah.
And that's fine. You know, I don't fault anybody for wanting to be looked at or needing I do, but I'm not going to get into it. This is clearly someone who needs attention, who's trying to make a statement. So be it. Whatever. I don't care. You know, there are certain T-shirts that I own that you would never catch me wearing on a flight. Now, I might wear it around the house, but I'm, the liberal B-word one that I have.
American Airlines does state on its website that passengers are required to wear non-offensive clothing.
Define offensive.
Right? But it doesn't detail specifically what that entails. And I'm going to read that again because this is laughable.
Right.
On its website, it says passengers are required to wear non-offensive clothing. That is so broad.
So vague.
So vague. And so stupid.
Mm-hmm. And
they need to rewrite it. If you're going to say, don't wear offensive clothing, tell me what that means to you. What is offensive to you?
And you have to be very careful. As I mentioned earlier, there are protected classes in America.
Is your butt hanging out of your pants a protected class?
That would be offensive.
Because most people would say, would you rather sit next to someone wearing a 666 t-shirt or someone who hasn't showered in a month and their gut is hanging out of their t-shirt? I would much rather sit next to the 666 t-shirt.
Got to admit, it's a great conversation piece.
Hey, you worship Satan?
I worship Satan.
Would you like some pretzels?
Wait, you worship Satan? No way, me too.
What are the odds that two Satan worshipers end up side by side on a flight?
Wouldn't you just crank up your iPad and like watch old Highway to Heaven reruns right next to that person? I know you, Scott, well enough to know that's what you would do.
Just sit there and pray the rosary.
Well, first of all, don't make fun of Highway to Heaven. That was a great show.
What was his name? Michael,
what was his name?
Michael.
After you're done with that, you could watch Touched by an Angel.
Oh, my God, yes.
I don't know
if the flight's long enough. Highway to Heaven was a great show.
Michael, what was his name? I can still see his face, and he passed away.
Yes, he did, years ago, of cancer. He smoked. He died of lung cancer.
Oh, I didn't know that.
576-7798. Heaven. His name is Michael Landon. He's also in Little House on the Prairie, of course. That's a jam.
It's been 30 years since Highway to Heaven.
Yeah, it was in the 80s.
There were 111 episodes.
It's a good show. Made me feel good about myself and Jesus.
I never saw a single one of them.
Are you kidding me?
I know you're not surprised by that, but
I think I watched every episode.
Did you really?
Yes, I loved it. I thought it was a great show.
That was back when I was working nights, I think.
And didn't like Jesus.
I don't think I ever... I think I thought it was corny, and I think it was.
It was corny.
Yeah, but a good family show.
It was a good family show. Rose in Kansas City. Hello, Rose.
Hey, gang. How y'all doing?
Well, we're doing well. Thanks.
Great. I got a call. I'm sorry. I just wanted to say that, you know, this kind of goes both ways. As a Catholic, I know of several priests or ministers of other religions who were heckled on planes after the priest pedophilia thing broke. And actually, a couple of them were asked to leave the plane because they were causing a disruption. Mothers didn't want them on the plane with their kids. People were yelling at them, you're all evil, you're all sex perverts. So, you know, it comes down to a matter of what is your level of respect, your level of comfort with people? I mean, if you want to worship the devil, that's fine with me, but don't get in my face about it.
Well, is wearing a t-shirt getting in your face?
No, I don't think it is. But and the airlines, to actually get up and ask a very innocent priest to have to get off a plane because people are heckling him because he is wearing a black shirt with a white collar, you can kind of compare that to wearing a 666 shirt.
Rose, I'm going to stop you there. I have never, I'm not saying you're not telling the truth because I don't know. I've never heard a story where a priest or a nun was asked to leave a flight.
I was on a plane once with my mother in the second to the last back row of the plane, which I think is where you're supposed to sit. Isn't that the safest seat?
You want to live?
Yeah. And behind us, and he was the very last to board the plane, was a prisoner with two, you know, plain-clothed, I assume, detectives or marshals or
probably
somebody.
U.S. marshals, yeah.
And I'll never forget it. I was about 16 or 17. They walked, one was in front, one was behind him. They walked right past our seat, and I noticed the man was wearing handcuffs. He was cuffed in the front, and they had draped a jacket over his wrists so that you couldn't really see that he was a handcuffed man. But he walked right by me, and I looked because they were boarding last. I was like, oh, my God, he's wearing handcuffs. So then I'm sitting with my mom, and I go, there's a prisoner right behind us.
Jim in Raytown. Hello, Jim.
Hey, love your show.
It's yours. Love Thanks.
It. So I hear all this talk about the shirt, different things that people get asked to leave for. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but this is a private plane. It belongs to a company, and they have every right to refuse somebody, no matter how vague or how small the rules are that you find online. No. They can ask somebody to leave for any reason.
No, they cannot.
Not for protected class reasons.
No, you cannot. American Airlines, for example, Jim, could not ask somebody to get off their flight because they're black or because they're disabled.
Right. No, I understand that side.
But I'm just talking. But religion is a protected class.
Okay.
So to ask somebody to leave because they're wearing a hijab or they've got a gigantic cross necklace or something like that.
Or they're dressed as a priest.
Or they are a priest and are wearing the proper attire. There is no way in hell that you don't get sued and you don't owe a lot of money.
Right. Okay, well, thanks for clearing it up.
Amen. Amen, brother. Hey, do appreciate the call, and a Merry Christmas to you or whatever you celebrate.
Speaking of amen, Highway to Heaven was based on not what you would think. I don't want to say lies because
well, it certainly was not.
Under 10 facts you probably never knew about Highway to Heaven, the star was not religious at all. Many fans assume that Michael Landon was a religious man due to the role he played in Highway to Heaven context of the show.
He was not.
He did not practice any religion as an adult.
I believe he was born Jewish, in fact. Not that that would have anything to do with it because Jesus didn't come up in the show. He was an angel.
The show was canceled.
Well, that was a crime.
Landon was a smoker, as you mentioned.
3 packs a day.
Wow. How do you know all this about Michael Landon?
I just know. I don't know.
Turns out Scott Parks is a closet Michael Landon super fan.
I liked Highway to Heaven.
I don't know. How many cigarettes are in a pack? I don't know.
20.
Oh, okay. So you're low. Landon was a chain smoker, often smoking 80 cigarettes a day.
Sorry, I was off by a pack.
Wow.
So before it was the Kiss Cave, was it the Landon Lounge or something?
Hey. You want to come see my Highway to Heaven? It's right upstairs.
I was going to say, it is upstairs. You're one story closer when you're in the Landon Lounge.
Okay, guys. Okay. I was a big fan of Highway to Heaven. I enjoyed the program, and I think Michael Landon was a fantastic actor. Get off my back. Now.
I love that you're a Michael Landon super fan.
Some things I've never told you.
That's one that I'm
a big Michael Landon fan.
He's in here. I thought he had like pulled up Michael Landon facts. No, he just knows.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just looking at
the computer's on the text line.
Yeah. Those are the things that he memorized while kneeling in front of his Michael Landon shrine.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.